Hello and welcome to All Remote Podcast.
My name is Ilana.
And my name is Anya.
And we are your hosts.
All Remote Podcast aims to give space for all remote advocates to share ideas and insights into the future of work.
We believe the future of work should create equal opportunities for everyone, regardless of their location, gender, or any other category.
Enjoy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of All Remote Podcast. Today, I'm very excited to welcome Julia Chanceren, who is a digital marketing consultant, trainer, and speaker, and on top of that, founder of Juicy Pickles, which is a boutique digital marketing agency specialized for small businesses. Julia is Italian, but she's currently living in Singapore. Julia, welcome.
Hello. Hi, everyone. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, happy to have you here. No, this was long in the works, and I'm really excited that we managed to set it up and have you share your tips and tricks and digital marketing hat.
I definitely have a lot of that to share, especially with small businesses, because I think there's a lot of misinformation going on out there. Mm-hmm. So yes, I'm really excited to be sharing this with you.
Wonderful. So let's start from the beginning. How did you come up with the idea of starting Juicy Pickles? And tell us a bit more about it.
Yeah. So I've been a self-employed digital marketing consultant pretty much for the last 9 years. So forever. Like, I've never really had a real job. Should I be ashamed of that? I don't think so. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm really happy that for all my career, at the beginning, it was kind of random where I was just helping startups and nonprofits. I started out with ISAAC, the student organization where we met. Many years ago. And then it just continued naturally until the point where I was in Singapore. I've been in Singapore since 2015. And I realized that there was definitely a market for high quality professional digital marketing services, but for small businesses. So that's how the idea of Juicy Pickles came about, really. And even the name, It's a play on different things, but really it came from the fact that I want to help people who have juicy pickles to sell to do that online very, very well. So I love, you know, to play around with the name, but it's just a nice idea, right? Because there's a lot of people that, you know, that they have big companies and massive concrete building company, etc. And that's really not my target. My target is more the small companies that make one product or a series of products amazingly well. Mm-hmm. But then because they are experts at making that one specific product, like say pickles, for example, they might not really have the digital marketing skills that you need to make it out there in 2020, especially in this world where, you know, we're all in lockdown, we're all stuck at home, we're all shopping online. And I think we could all use a bit more juicy pickles in our lives. So people definitely want to buy from small businesses. People want to support other small businesses. People don't just want to buy everything off Amazon anymore.
Yeah.
So that's really what I do. That's why I started Juicy Pickles. And that's why I really like doing it, honestly, because I'm a huge fan of those people that, you know, just quit their job, quit their serious life, and then drop everything to go out and make tea or kombucha or tempeh or something else. You know, there's a lot of people that are making amazing products out there, but then you've never heard of them because their marketing kind of sucks.
Yeah. And that's okay. I mean, I think people are either brilliant when it comes to designing products or coming up with a solution to tackle a certain problem. And then there are people who are the executors who come in as second, third, 10th person and make those products somewhere out there, put it somewhere so people can see it. Wonderful. So you mentioned a lot of things that I really want to talk about. So let's dissect your intro into different pieces and different points. In the beginning, you mentioned that there are a lot of myths or misconceptions about digital marketing, and I cannot agree more. So from your experience or just in your own words, what are the most common myths that we see or think that are true about digital marketing?
Oh God, we could talk about that for the next 12 hours, but I don't think we have 12 hours for the podcast, so I'll keep it short.
Let's make this a volume one.
Make this a volume one. Okay, so first of all, three things. So the first is that good digital marketing is actually invisible. So digital marketing, if done well, is mostly made up of those invisible things, such as, you know, retargeting ads and email automation and all of these things that are really, really nerdy, but they're also very effective. The problem is that most people that are running a business and then they're looking around, right? You know, they're looking on Instagram and they're looking on TV, etc. And then what they see is they only see the massive campaigns. You know, they see the Nike TV ad that's amazing and tear jerking, and it's like, oh my God. And so they think, oh, well, Nike is doing that, so I need to do the same for my small business because Nike is doing that. So they must know what they're doing. But then obviously the problem is that what Nike does, or what, let's say, Starbucks does in terms of marketing, is really not what you should do as a small business. Mm-hmm. So that's number one. That's really that good digital marketing is invisible. It's not the things that you see. The second one is that people associate digital marketing with social media. So they think that digital marketing equals social media. So there's a lot of people out there that say that they do, that they're a digital marketer, when all they do is social media curation, which means picking out pretty photos that go well in your Instagram feed. Now, can that work? Answer is, it depends. Mm-hmm. It can work if you sell bikinis or handbags or something else that's very lifestyle and visual. And if you have a lot of time on your hands to post on Instagram 5 times a day, to do contests, to engage with your audience, it's back-breaking work. It's not easy. Not because all of us have an Instagram profile, then using Instagram as a digital marketing channel is as easy. Like, trust me, I've tried. It doesn't work like that. So a lot of people just think that digital marketing equals social media. So they think that if they're posting on Instagram and posting on Facebook, that's it. That's all the digital marketing that they need. But we both know that it's not true.
Oh, yeah.
So social media can be very good to generate awareness around your product. And it can be a very, very good channel to generate new customers to your website. But actually, back to point one, good digital marketing is invisible. So the good digital marketing things are actually all of those disciplines involved in making sure that people click, that people buy, and that people buy again. Mm-hmm. So that's point two. Digital marketing is not social media. Point number three, I would say it's, gosh, I can't summarize it in a sentence, but basically this is the concept. The concept is that when you are small and when you are starting from zero, no audience, no following, a little budget because you are just starting out, the mistake that a lot of people do is that they start from the top of the pile. Mm-hmm. So there are, let's say, 20 things that you can do in terms of marketing, not just digital marketing, but marketing in general, right? One of those things is, for example, doing a TV ad. Something else can be putting up a billboard in your town or doing a PR campaign, for example. These three things that I just mentioned are three very, very expensive ways to get in front of a lot of people without really knowing if you're reaching out to the right people and without really being able to account for your return on investment. And once again, the mistake that a lot of people make is that to start, you should start from those. You should start from the PR campaign and spending $5,000 for a complete logo rebranding because your visual identity needs to be on point. Now, you don't really need a fancy visual identity to sell. You just need a product to sell. So let's make the example that you are making, you're making candles, let's say, right? I've got a candle right here, pretty candles. So if you are making candles, you don't want to start by doing a PR campaign to tell people about your candle. You want to start by capturing that percentage of the market that is already out there in your town or in your country looking for candles. So instead of starting from the top, So instead of starting from very expensive, very large scale marketing things, the mistake that a lot of people do is that they completely overlook those marketing tactics or strategies and channels that are instead very focused and very specific and can get really good return on investment. Mm-hmm. Now you might be wondering, okay, Julia, give us the answer, please. So the answer is Google Ads. Google Ads allow you to capture traffic of people that are searching for a solution to their problem. If I break my leg, I go to Google and I search for a doctor. I don't wait to see a PR campaign that talks about a doctor, right? So if you are starting from something, you should start from channels such as Google Ads that drive very specific traffic to your website. Because you're starting out, all you need is one customer to be a business. You don't need 10,000 people to see your ad on TV. You need one person to place the first order. Google Ads is an example. Another example is Facebook Ads. Another example, once again, is SEO, which is a big word. But in very simple terms, for a small business, this means having a profile on Google Maps. So using this thing that's called Google My Business, you can sign up for free for a profile at google.com/business. Thanks, Google. Please send me the check later. And then this will allow people, when they are searching for candles in Singapore, for example, this will show your business among other candle brands in Singapore. The beautiful thing is that, once again, most people don't do this. Most people completely overlook this step. Most people, you know, spending $5,000 on a logo, no brainer. But then spending 1 hour to create a Google My Business profile, oh my God, no, that's too hard. Is it? So that's the third mistake that I would say a lot of people make, that they start from this very high level, high volume, high exposure things that are not really focused and they're not really driving the traffic that they need, instead of starting from those low hanging fruit that can help them to drive the right traffic to their website. So if you're a small business owner that's listening right now and you don't have a Google My Business profile, or you don't know what that is, but you know very well how much you spent for your logo, then please, please, please go and sign up for a Google My Business profile, because it can really help you. It's something that you can do in 1 hour. You don't need to pay anyone. You can do it yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, all the things that you mentioned could be a separate episodes, and we can talk about this for days. Sure. I mean, yes. It's even overwhelming for people who are in marketing as you and myself, because what digital marketing was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, it was far-fetched, but what it is right now, what it was last year, 5 years or how many years, and what will be in next 2 years is completely different things, right? Like, digital marketing is this like umbrella term that keeps on expanding and keeps on just being split up in multiple pieces and chunks, and it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yes.
And I think, of course, the things that have been, you know, visible in early days, as you mentioned, like, you know, ads and PR campaigns and, you know, paid media appearances, etc., are just, you know, things that everybody knows about because they're, again, the most visible. But whenever somebody would ask me, like, what should a company do to make this happen, my answer is always, it depends. Mm-mm. Because I think the bottom line is figuring out where your people are and who are they, actually. Who are they would be the first one, right? Because as you said, like, if thousands of people see your ad, wherever the ad is, and if none of them are interested or have the intent of purchasing your product, it just makes no sense and there is no return on investment. So again, it really makes sense. All it takes is one buyer or one person who purchases a product or a service, and that's how you start. You mentioned also that, you know, a lot of people who are just starting a business or who own a small business don't necessarily have marketing knowledge or the resources, both financial or human, to, you know, focus on marketing. So early on, for these who are wondering whether they should hire someone or do something in particular in the early stages, what would be your advice?
Once again, it depends. Like, it always depends. However, if we're talking about most people, you know, 80% of cases, there are definitely a lot of things that you can do yourself. And in many cases, I actually recommend people to do things themselves so that A, they learn how it works before they can outsource this to someone else. But also because, honestly, when you are the business owner, say that you have a business, let's say, you know, you make fancy stationery, okay? So say you make fancy stationery, you probably know a lot about stationery than the average person. Now, if you're a stationery expert, if you were to hand off, say, your social media strategy and curation, which are two different things, but anyways, so if you were to hand off, say, your social media to someone else, unless that someone else is a fancy stationery expert, they're not going to do a job as good as you can do it. Simply because, even though, yes, they might know where to click on Facebook to go live or to post a video or whatever other features, you know, they published this week, they don't know the product. And honestly, I think that a lot of the times you can start a business and kind of run it for the first year on your own, simply because when you're starting out, demonstrating product knowledge and being out there and being genuine matters more than any other digital marketing course. So my advice would be that when you're starting out, sure, you know, maybe if you're not a designer, maybe you might want to outsource the logo design, for example. But at the same time, you really don't need a logo and you don't need a fancy visual identity. Heck, I've been in business for 9 years and I have a logo, but it's kind of ugly. I paid like $50 to get it done on Fiverr. And it's literally a jar of pickles, which is, I mean, it's honestly, I mean, I like it because it's cute, but it's really not an award-winning logo in any shape or form. Does that prevent me to do business? No. So I really don't worry about that because right now I want to focus on serving my customers, not on worrying about a logo. So if you're just starting out, I would say you don't need to hire anyone just yet. You know, at least get to the first, let's say, $1,000 in sales on your own because you need to figure out, you need to see firsthand what customers say, what your audience says, and you need to experience firsthand where your audience hangs out, and you're going to need a whole lot of market research. So at first, chances are that you will have a lot of time, but not a lot of money. So once you have a lot of time, then I think that's the perfect time for you to maybe learn the ropes of social media and SEO and even your website, for example. I know that there's people out there that make amazing, amazing websites. And if you have the budget for it, definitely go for it. However, I've learned this myself that making your own website is really a soul searching exercise because it forces you to think of your product like a customer. It forces you to really, really go deep into figuring out what your audience is and what they want and what problem is your product solving. So maybe it's not going to look as great as a professional designed it, but you know what? That's okay. Because if I am coming to your site because you make the best fancy stationery in the world and it's available in Singapore, honestly, even me as a digital marketer, I make websites for a living. I'm not going to judge you. I really don't care if your website looks good or not. I just care about what your products are. And obviously, yes, you know, I need to be able to check out. Yes, thank you. But other than that, the products really matter a whole lot more than the marketing. And I think when you're starting out, when you're small, unless you're a marketing company, it really, I don't want to say that digital marketing doesn't matter. Obviously, digital marketing can help you if you have a good product. But if you don't, then digital marketing can't turn you around, you know? I can't save a dead product. If your product is something that nobody wants, if it's overpriced, if it doesn't serve a purpose, if it's not well made, then, you know, you should probably be watching one of those like dropshipping courses, you know, that promise you how to get rich quick. But in the market of small businesses that make things with quality and with attention to detail and with love, really, that almost more often than not, it shines through any ugly website.
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, right? I mean, especially if what you make is an artisanal product, sure, I understand the temptation of going all out and hiring the whole team and all of that. But I think really it's a good exercise to do it yourself at first so that you also learn what you want from an employee or from a contractor, you know, because you want to be able to speak the language a little bit. You want to be comfortable enough with, one, your product, B, your audience, and C, with just, you know, the mechanics of the whole thing. And chances are that if you are not familiar enough, the contractors and the freelancers that you are going to engage are going to take advantage of you. One, because there's a lot of shady people out there that are just out to cheat honest, hardworking business owners out of their own money just because, you know, you don't know something, and then they're just going to use a lot of words and then confuse you and then convince you that you need this super fancy website for $10,000. Mm-hmm. And then I have heard so many horror stories of people that, you know, paid 50% deposit and then the website was never delivered. And then now they're like just in limbo because you, especially if somebody is in a different country, it makes it so hard to get your money back or get anything done. So it really is complicated out there. I kind of wish there was a solution that like help business owners with this.
Oh, there is. There is. This is time for shameless plug.
There is? Oh, do tell. Do tell. No, I think that, you know, what Deel does can be really, really helpful for small businesses as well, because when you're small, you just can't afford to be cheated out of your own money.
Yeah. It's really funny because Deel actually started as a platform to help freelancers to guarantee that they're getting money. So what we did in the early days, it sounds like we're such an old company, but let's say around 2 years ago when we were starting out, this was our initial product. We were helping people to get paid and minimizing the chances that you would get ghosted mm-hmm. and never receive money again. But then we decided there's this huge market around remote work and global contracting that just, you know, exactly helps small businesses or bigger businesses who are working with global talent to, you know, safely and compliantly run their business with contractors. But I wanted to get back to one thing. So you actually summarized really well about like knowing your product and realizing what it takes to have a really good product. And it goes back to what you said in the beginning. It's not about selling once, it's about selling again. Because if you want to have a sustainable and healthy business, you would want these people to purchase your product more than once. Mm-hmm. And potentially share their delight with others. Because till this day, I still am a huge advocate for word of mouth mm-hmm. because no marketing budget can come close to happy, happy customers. We've seen that with Deel, you know, we just like, you know, we could have invested so much money, but at the end of the day, if somebody organically says that they like the product because X, Y, and Z, it just makes all the difference and it speaks volumes, yeah. The quality of the product. So I think that what you said really, really makes sense. At some point you mentioned that, you know, there are a lot of things that need to happen, especially in 2020. So as all we know, well, this year has been a hectic one for everyone. I think all the businesses were affected in one or the other way. But is there something, a particular trend that you saw when it comes to digital marketing that is emerging from this year?
I mean, I don't know if I qualify as, you know, a big enough expert to spot trends. However, I'll say what I've seen, you know, with my community. So I mostly work with small business owners who are outside of the main, you know, major markets. So I don't have any mm-hmm. customers that are in the US. I think that also makes a difference because once again, being a small business in a place like the US where you have 300 million people, or being a small business in a place like Singapore where you have 4 million people of available market, is completely different.
Of course.
So what I have seen is once again, my experience with small businesses in small markets. One thing that is not as much of a trend as I'd like to see is subscriptions. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just going at this from the point of view of, oh, you know, you should charge people every month because that way you make more money. No, I am speaking from a consumer perspective because these days our lives are so stressful and there's just so much going on, right? Let's not even go into that because we want this to be a happy conversation. But I guess the good news for small businesses is that people are so burned out and stressed that if you can make their life easier, they'll take you up on it. So for example, I'm sure that, you know, if you have a big family and, you know, if you and your partner both work and you have two kids running around and a dog and a cat, you probably do the bulk of your shopping online. So many people, you know, they do their weekly grocering on Amazon or on any other of the platforms. However, going back to the beginning, everybody does like supporting small businesses, but more often than not, it's not that they don't order again from small businesses because they don't care about ordering from small businesses, or it's not that they don't want to support small businesses, is that they just forget.
Yeah.
So having a subscription in place where, for example, if you make, say you make kombucha, right? Kombucha is this like fermented tea that's really good for you. And one of my clients, she makes really, really good kombucha in Singapore. And so during the lockdown here, we launched a subscription plan where people can just on autopilot receive 12 bottles of kombucha every month. They don't have to think about it. The business can plan its production a little bit better because that way it's a bit more predictable. And in the end, everybody wins.
Yeah.
So subscription is definitely a trend that I would love to see that small businesses do, not just businesses that do specifically subscriptions, but businesses that do something else.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, making things easier. Yeah, apart from subscription, I mean, this year has taken a toll on businesses. That's not deniable. But, you know, in order, is this really this like vicious circle of you need more money to invest in marketing, but then you should also invest in marketing to get more money so that you can invest back. So there's always this like choosing between the two, like when and how you would invest in order to get more money and how to get more money in order to invest. So is there anything that you would suggest when it comes to digital marketing activities that a small business or any business can do to maximize a smaller budget?
Once again, we go back to the idea of starting from focused small efforts that can drive a clear return. So for example, Google Ads is one of these. Going back to my client that makes kombucha, we started with a very, very small budget of something like, you know, $2 a day, which means $60 a month, which is less than her average order. So it's very, very affordable. But then because no other kombucha brand was using Google Ads, her return on ad spend was something ridiculous, like 2,000%, because everybody would just click on her ad and then buy simply because she was at the top of the list and none of her competitors was yet doing Google Ads. So Google Ads is honestly very underrated. I know that a lot of people think that Google Ads is like scammy and sleazy, and sure, if you're a loan shark, you know, if you do insurance or something, yes, it can be a money pit. However, for small businesses, especially the ones that do products that people search for, it can be a really good thing. If I can make another example, I have another, well, he's not a client of mine. He's like, I have a group coaching program, and I have quite a few business owners from all over the world, well, Southeast Asia and Europe, really, that are part of it. And one of these business owners, he's a friend. His name is JJ, and he has a company in the UK where he makes custom-built furniture for exhibitions. So as you can imagine, 2020 is not exactly his year because all of the exhibitions are canceled and nothing's going on. And yet, so what he did, because he and his brother, they own a physical workshop in England, somewhere in England, I'm not sure where. So what they did is that they quickly pivoted into doing custom high-end furniture. Mm-hmm. So for example, if you want, you know, a fancy setup in your home office or a fancy setup in your living room, they can custom make it for you because they already have the workshop. They already have the expertise. They already have everything else going. And I've recently chatted with JJ to see how he was getting along with the digital marketing advice that I gave him. And he's like, man, I can't join the group call because I'm too busy. We are booked out until 2020. We have too much work. I don't know what to do. And he doesn't do any fancy digital marketing. He doesn't pay an agency. It's just him doing the business side and his brother doing the production side. So it's nothing complicated, but he did take my advice on doing Google Ads and then doing one of our group calls in, you know, 10 minutes or so. We just optimized the keywords that he was paying for, and we just fixed a couple of very small things. And then very quickly, that became the biggest driver of traffic and sales for him. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what his budget is, but I think I remember it was less than £10 per day. So, you know, once again, less than £300 per month, which is really something that everyone can afford. So because Google Ads is get to the traffic of people that are already in the market for a solution, basically, if you can't make money on Google Ads, it's going to be extremely hard to make money with anything else. So Google Ads is something that really everyone should consider, whether it's 2020 or not, even with as little as $2 a day, because it can really, really help you, especially when people are searching for your product. So for example, fashion, that might be a bit of a stretch, right? Because if I'm searching for, you know, a red dress, there's ASOS, there's Zalando, there's a million other retailers that are competing against you. But if your product is unique, custom wood furniture in the UK, or kombucha made in Singapore, or something else, then you definitely have a chance, because chances are that your competitors, they didn't listen to this podcast, they didn't listen to me, and they're not doing Google Ads. So it sounds cheesy, but it's true.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I went into Google Ads, right? The first time I went there, my brain just exploded because it seemed like this massive, complicated engine that you need to start with so many parameters, so many, you know, like, you know, keywords, what keywords should I choose? And then Google is constantly suggesting me things that I should do to improve and, you know, up my numbers and all of that. And honestly, the first time I did it, I was really overwhelmed. I can imagine for someone who isn't in marketing or doesn't know much about marketing, can be easily overwhelmed, if not more, and then just give up. I agree that Google Ads are a great activity to do, a very low-hanging fruit if set up correctly. But I'm guessing that, you know, somebody who's listening to this and might not have experience with marketing or Google Ads in particular, they would, once shocked by the number of elements and settings you can do in Google Ads, would go to Google and search for how to optimize or how to set Google Ads. And then million of articles, hacks, quick, you will do this in 5 minutes, tips and tricks, listicles will pop up. And it's, again, really overwhelming. So we know that, you know, content is king and there's so much content, and it seems that everybody is creating content nowadays through different channels and different formats. So either like videos or webinars, podcasts, blog posts. I think there's this statistic that there are like 1 million blog articles posted every day or something like that. It's wow. It's just ridiculous. I mean, it makes sense. There are a lot of people, a lot of businesses out there. But how, like, what would you say would be like the go-to place or a place to at least start when you're just a newbie in, you know, digital marketing or even Google Ads? Yeah.
I mean, if I can shamelessly plug what I'm doing, then I would say come to the Pickling Club, where every month I share, you know, one layer of digital marketing specifically for small business owners. No overwhelm, no dramas. I make it easy because, yes, you know, out there it's really overwhelming because it's content made by us nerds for other nerds. Yep. But the good news is that really, as a small business, you really don't need to worry about, I don't want to say any of it, but you really don't need to worry about most of it. And chances are that when you're small, your problems and your, I guess your priorities are really, really different from, you know, a nerd like me optimizing Google Ads for, once again, say Starbucks. It's not the same ball game at all.
Absolutely.
So that's also why I created the Pickling Club, which is this group, I call it group coaching, but it's not really coaching. It's more like group consulting in the end. And it's like a community where you learn about digital marketing, and it's specifically made for a small business owner. And I launched this during the lockdown because I was like, okay, nobody is going to pay big retainers anymore. And also, I don't want to charge that anymore. I don't want to do that. I want to help a lot of people, and I want to make it affordable. I want to make it stupid affordable. So what it costs to join is less than one order per month. And I want to make it affordable because I want to make sure that people get a positive return on investment. So that's why I created it, really, to kind of like simplify and curate the content that's out there. Because at first glance, it can really be overwhelming and just not make any sense to any of us. And really, I mean, digital marketing is really a lot of testing things. It's a lot of like fumbling around until you get it right. You know, that's how I started. That's how you started. That's how we all started in digital marketing, right? We all kind of like stumbled upon it. And then we were like, hey, hold on a second. We can do this a little bit better. So obviously, but then as a business owner, your priority is not to become a CMO. It's not to become a super expert of digital marketing. It's just about really, okay, what is the smallest amount of knowledge that I need to make this work? So the basic knowledge that I want to, you know, share freely with everyone is that step one, start from very focused channels where you can measure the return of investment. How do you measure the return of investment? Very simple. Sign up for a Google Analytics account, which is free, and then integrate that with your Shopify or Wix or Squarespace. There's usually a box where you just copy the code, paste the code, done. And then on Google Analytics, the one thing that you want to keep an eye on is the acquisition, which will show you how much of the sales are coming from one channel or the other channel. So I'll share a funny story that happened to me 2 weeks ago. I was doing a one-on-one session with a member of the Pickling Club. Her name is Hannah. She's from Korea. And she's a singer and she's a singing teacher. She runs a vocal studio here in Singapore. And we had this one-on-one session because she just wanted to like get a few ideas going for Christmas, you know, what to do for Christmas, how to improve her business, how to improve her marketing. Awesome. I'm all over this stuff. So then she was sharing very happily how she has an intern doing digital marketing for her. And I was very excited. So I'm like, do tell. So what's this intern doing? And she's like, oh, she's doing social media. Once again, right? That's always what the interns are doing.
Yeah, that's how you start. That's okay.
That's how you start. That's how we all started, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, so then I asked her, oh, okay, how is that going? And she's like, oh, very well. And I'm like,
elaborate.
What do you mean, very well? You know, like, please elaborate. Like, did you get a lot more followers? Did you get a lot more customers? You know, what's the deal here? And she's like, I don't know. she's once again, that's not her job. It's not her job to know. Her job is to sing and teach other people how to sing. Now, I would probably have to pay you to listen to me sing. So that's why her and I get along, because, you know, she does the singing, I do the digital marketing. It works. Anyways, lo and behold, we go into her Google Analytics account so that she had one installed. She has a website on Squarespace that's very simple, but very well designed. And so we just go in to look at the data. Imagine my surprise when I saw that this tiny, small singing school in Singapore got something like 2,000 visitors in the previous months, which for Singapore, and compared to the numbers that I see from other clients, it's quite high. And I'm like, wow. Then I looked at the breakdown of where the traffic was coming from. And 90% of that traffic was coming from organic search.
Nice.
So she didn't even know that. So she doesn't even know what SEO means, you know? She's a singing coach and, you know, she's young and she's smart and she's brilliant, but it's just not her job. So she didn't even know that she is at number one or on page one of Google for most of the relevant keywords in Singapore. So if you search for vocal coaching Singapore or singing school Singapore, she is like the first or the second, which is amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. So then we look at like the percentage of traffic that was coming from social media. And I'm not kidding. It was something like 10 visitors over the last month. So, you know, it's just mind blowing how the perception is very different from the reality. And this is a problem that a lot of business owners have, that they want to get more followers on Instagram. They want to get more engagement on Instagram, but then they're not even looking at the numbers. You know, they don't even know where most of their business comes from. Because after our session, I left Hannah with a couple of recommendations. Good news is that you got 10 visitors in the last month. You can definitely double that.
Yeah.
Easily double that, right? But at the same time, if you double that, it would not make a dent in your business. Mm-hmm. So if you have unlimited time in the world, sure, post on Instagram 5 times a day. I don't care. But real talk, we don't have a limited time in our day. So guess what you want to focus on? You want to focus on improving even more your ranking on Google. So you want to put more photos on your Google My Business profiles. You want to add a blog to your website and just share about things. And once again, a lot of people get hung up on the mechanics because they're like, oh, I don't know how to write for SEO. I need to hire someone. It's hard. And once again, yes, it can be as complicated as you want, but it can also be simple. It can also be just authentic. Like, don't worry about SEO. Just write. Just write for your audience. Do something valuable for your audience. Help them. And business will come. I don't want to say it's going to come naturally, but especially in the case of Hannah with her singing school that has an amazing ranking on Google, you know, she could probably do away with not even having an Instagram profile and still having a profitable business. So yes, it's really important to know what matters and where the business is coming from.
Julia, this has been so insightful and I love the stories you shared. We should definitely organize a volume 2. I hope that this was insightful for our listeners as well. You have a lot of low-hanging fruit to pick.
Yes,
from the Juicy Pickles podcast that we just had. So again, Julia, thank you so much for being a guest. This was really wonderful. If you're interested in learning more about Julia and what she's doing, the links will be in the description. So make sure to check that. And that's it. See you soon. Thanks.
That's awesome. Thank you for having me, Anya. I'd love being on your podcast. So yes, let's do a volume 2 and volume 3 anytime.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Awesome. Bye.
That's it for this episode of All Remote Podcast. I hope you enjoyed listening to it and learned how to kick off your digital marketing. If you're planning on hiring contractors or freelancers to help you set up, check out Deel. Have a good one and see you next time. Bye.